Good afternoon. This is Dr. Saul Goldstein. The opinions expressed by these two, fellows, colored folks, may or may not be the opinions of their employers or mine. Holla at me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Chop Soccer Podcast, episode 54. This is your host, Rox Fontaine, and...
It's your boy. We ready to pod tonight.
The element was in the air. The danger was lurking.
It's lurking. That's that old house party joint where they was like...
Yeah, I miss House Party. They should do a remake, like a good one.
Miss what?
I don't think it really aged well. Yeah, real good with aged well. Yeah, I don't think it aged well.
It's definitely not. Especially at High Top. It was on something the other day. I was actually, I tuned in for like 10 minutes. So I was like, man, this is whack.
Yeah. But I mean, the concept, like when we were a kid, it was dope.
Yeah. You already know how we kick it off, people. Center circle, weekend games, transfers, rumors, all that sort of good stuff. We didn't exactly start there this week, but, you know, we just vibing and shit. You know how it go. Ken, what did you catch in this past week?
I actually caught a lot of football this week.
Ken was in the house, y'all, for once.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was raining here, so I wasn't going to be out touching road in the rain.
Yeah,
so let's see. Thursday, I watched USA Jamaica. Jamaica's really been in a disappointment. Like,
yeah, they were not great.
Yeah, they just haven't pulled it together. Like, they should be like a little more organized. They got some better talent, but might be time to look at the coach. But yeah, let's see. Saturday, no MLS. I watched a little NWSL. The Gotham and the Spirit both won. They did their 6-minute protests too.
Yeah.
That was really dope, even though I wish it was on like PVTV, because that, like, that shit hits different when it's on cable, and like, it's, I don't want to say it's free, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, on streaming
it's available.
Yeah, on streaming it's easy for people to bury it. So anyway, watch the women's WSL Manchester Derby, United and City. Let's see, that was it for Saturday. For Sunday, watch the U.S. lose. We'll talk about that later. Watch the Red Stars lose a thriller. Arsenal's women out here giving them the beat them downs. And I watched... What am I missing? Oh, Nations League. I watched France win on that wild offside call. And I watched them come back and beat Belgium. And fuck, I watched a lot of football this week.
Yeah, you did.
And I watched Spain beat Italy. It's the first time Italy's lost in something like 40-something games or something. So,
damn.
Yeah.
They balling out.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. They might have broken that streak a little earlier. But, yeah, all the way through the Euros, they were on like a 30-something unbeaten game run. So, it's the first time I remember them losing. So,
big up to them.
Yeah.
I caught nowhere near that much. I saw USA versus Jamaica. That was interesting. Had fun cheering for the boys. Also,
Of course, always a good time when they win. Panama and USA, I did not see. But again, we're going to get into that later. I was trying to watch Minnesota versus Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I missed that game, but that ended up being a drubbing for Colorado. They won 3-1. And yeah, that was all I caught this weekend. I got kind of wrapped up in some things, so I didn't have time to just sit and watch games the way I would like to on a normal weekend. But that's how it goes sometimes, man. You know what I mean? In these short corners, we got first up BWPC, the Black Women Players Collective, and Adidas have teamed up to spread awareness about the need for more equality and access for Black women and girls in the game of soccer. This is dope as hell. And it says here in the mailer that I got today from Adidas directly, today we transform soccer alongside our partner, the Black Women's Player Collective. Adidas will serve as a long-term partner of the BWPC. Our combined efforts aim to break down the barriers of access for youth and under-resourced communities. Together, we will shift the narrative of Black women and girls in soccer by demanding equity, representation, and access at all levels of the game. It's our collective intention to lead the way for female athletes by providing opportunities for young girls and advocating for equality at the professional level. What are your thoughts on this, man? This is the link up.
Yeah, man, I really like this. And I think that this is going to be big. There isn't a lot of soccer-specific women's gear. Sorry, I said mm-hmm. that backwards. Women's-specific soccer gear in mm-hmm. the market. And anything that they are going to be taking the forefront on, all of that money is going to a good cause, right? Because you know merch is coming because mm-hmm. they dropped the logo, which was fire. Like,
yeah, I love it. It's got the little steps. I see what you're doing there.
Yeah. So, hold on. Yeah. So, like, I'm just excited to see, like, where this goes in terms of, like, partnerships like this, where... Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the money is going directly to like an organization that you care and support. Right. Yeah. So like, you know, big ups to the women that put this together, like big ups to all the lives that this is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'm really excited to see this. Like, this is actually Same. Some good news. Like, in the shithole that's been women's soccer news for a while. So
facts. And the four lead athletes here I'm in love with too, especially the two hometown heroes, Gotham FC's Imani Dorsey and Ifeoma Onumanu. That is fire. Tiara King, of course, and Tegan McGrady being the fourth. So yeah, they're all leading or representing this collaboration and the marketing, which is dope as hell. They have some little girls in here too. They shot the video at the what's the men's one's called again? I forgot. Lord have mercy, I can't remember right now. Anyway, their court, and it was dope. And I just love that Adidas is constantly, you know, putting dollars behind Black initiatives, Black sport, Black culture. That's dope as hell. You know, it's still a German brand. It still, you know, has its roots and it has history and has, you know, things that you can nitpick at too. But overall, present day Adidas is always on the forefront of keeping sport and culture aligned. And this is another push in that direction. So super excited to see this. And I hope the merch comes out like super, super fire. 'Cause you know, with this link up specifically like this, I imagine they can do some extremely cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait.
MLS is talking about a 30th team. Today it came out on Twitter. Commissioner Don Garber says the league's 30th team will be announced or appointed in the next 12 months. Ken Stradamus,
We're going to put your skills to the test right here in this moment. We need to know. The people need to know who is going to be the next MLS franchise.
This is tough. It's really tough. Because MLS is everywhere almost now, right? So, like, I can't think of a region where MLS should have a team that they don't have a team. Unless we're talking like the Southwest. If I had to guess a region where they don't have a team that they probably need a team, I would say either is the St. Louis team a thing?
It's coming.
Okay, so the St. Louis team's already coming. I'm going somewhere in Arizona. Probably like Phoenix. Yeah.
Oh, Lord. What was Jake going to do with that one?
Yeah.
Shout out to 50 Plus Derner.
I mean, that's the only place I can really think of. Because, I mean, Florida already has a couple teams. Texas already has a couple teams. The Mid-Atlantic already has, like, Washington, Philadelphia. They have Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Heading up to the Northeast, you've got the two New York teams. You've got the Revolution. In the Midwest, you've got Columbus, which covers Ohio. Unless they get, like, an Indiana.
Columbus and Cincinnati.
Yeah, Columbus and Cincinnati. You've got Louisville and Kentucky right there. So St. Louis is supposed to be coming. You've got the Fire here in Chicago, unless you go with one in Indianapolis, which I don't know.
Oh, hell no.
So then you've got Minnesota, like Minneapolis United. On the West Coast, unless you're going to put another team in Southern California, you've got the two LA teams.
San Diego.
That would be the only place in California, because you have a Northern California team in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Is it in Sacramento?
Yeah. So they were
San Jose.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the San. San Jose Earthquakes.
Yeah. I might go see them in November.
Is that Northern California, though?
I have no idea. Don't ask me about California geography.
Okay, so yeah.
But probably, yes.
I could see. Okay, so my three guesses are going to be Sacramento.
I thought Sacramento was in and then they backed out.
That's what I'm saying. They might be back in.
Bruh.
Sacramento. Arizona or St. Louis. Those are my three. What you got?
St. Louis is already in.
Oh, well, Sacramento or Arizona. That's what I got.
Arizona.
Phoenix.
Talk about somewhere I don't want to go in the summer. It's got to be Arizona.
Yeah, but there's no teams right there between Texas and California along those border states.
Yeah. What if it's San Antonio?
Ooh. How many teams does that make in Texas?
That would be
three.
Four. Because that would be Houston, Dallas, Austin,
and then San Antonio. Yeah, I don't see that happening.
I think that would just piss people off. It'll split that state up so much.
Yeah.
Because all of them are in the same. I mean, Texas is so big, but they're all in the vicinity of each other. So,
yeah, you've got
a lot of fan bases up. That way
you gotta give New York another team.
Absolutely fucking not, bro.
Before you give Texas a team.
Yeah, we can't even get nobody to go see either one of these bum ass clubs, bro. ain't nobody trying to see a third one.
Wow.
Bro, NYCFC, that's my squad, don't ever get it twisted, but their attendance is atrocious right now. Atrocious. I'm just saying, man. I'm going to keep it 100 one way or the other. But, yeah, it can't be that. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I do like the idea of in Arizona, I guess, a Phoenix club that could work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put them in any place where there's already a major franchise, so you can, you know, try to draw some of that traffic. So we'll see who it is.
That's what I was thinking.
Whoever makes the jump, man, listen, it's getting more and more difficult to be a powerhouse in this league. So they better be hard at work on finding the proper front office personnel to make their sporting department on the level to compete in MLS. Because otherwise it's going to be another, you know, Cincinnati situation where you making that damn jump up and it's not all rainbows and cookies up here. Shit's difficult. More Versus is coming up. We have Big Daddy Kane and KRS-One.
Step into a world.
They'll face off live in Brooklyn on October 17th.
Booyaka, booyaka.
Listen, as far as rapping goes, this is a good one. This is going to be interesting because, like, Kane has got that energy, that swagger, that shit talk about these bars, but so does KRS. And their angles are very, very different as artists, but the energy is very, very similar. So this is going to be an interesting one. I'm not sure I really want to watch this, but I can easily see how it could be an incredible Versus that would shock a lot of people, especially for this younger generation that, you know, probably doesn't really know this music.
Mm-hmm.
They know some of the, you know, big radio records that still get played at the function, but, you know, as far as fully understanding their catalogs as a whole, this could be a masterclass if they play it right. What you think?
I can't control the passion.
Yeah, I'm ready for this because, like, all right, I'm going to put my backpack on for a second. Like, a lot of people have been questioning my my backpack around here.
It's me.
I'm not going to say no names. But a lot of people have been questioning my backpack around here. So I'm really looking forward to this one. Because you're a bit older than me. So, like,
probably a lot.
Yeah, but you understand, like, you understand the Juice Crew and, like, Big Daddy Kane, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was, like, coming into hip hop, like, at the end of KRS-One's, like, kind of run in, like, mm-hmm. the early 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Big Daddy Kane had, like, the early 80s on lock.
Facts.
Like, him and the Juice Crew, like, I mean, I think this is going to be an education for a lot of people on, like, just who people were before the people that we were. Like,
AKA, who taught y'all how to do this?
Yeah, basically. Like, if there was no, like, if there was no Big Daddy Kane, if there was no Juice Crew, if there was, like, no KRS-One, like, you don't have that golden era of hip-hop where, like, hip-hop kind of becomes, well, like, it steps up into the mainstream before it, like, absolutely goes global, right? Like, yeah. The late 90s, early 2000s, like, everybody who are basically billionaires and shit now, because mm-hmm. of everything that happened in that era, like, they were standing on the shoulders of these guys.
That's a fact. I want to give a quick history lesson, though, just a brief one, and we want to put some names to this Juice Crew for those of you who are not in the know. Get this motherfucking hip-hop history the way only Chop Soccer Podcast can deliver it. So Juice Crew included Marley Marl, Biz Markie, rest in peace, MC Shan, Roxanne Shante, Craig G, Kool G Rap, Master Ace, and DJ Polo. There are a couple of others. that I don't remember so well. But those are the major names. Marley Marl's son was a friend of mine for several years. Sidebar. Kuji Rap is one of the greatest rappers of all time. If you really, really on that backpack shit.
Ever.
A lot of people pay, you know, homage to him as being one of the fathers of technical rap, you know, deep storytelling, along with your Rakims and that sort of thing. But Big Daddy Kane was also in that conversation. He was one of the ones who pushed rap forward with the complexity, with the swagger, the style, fashion, all that stuff. Like, he was doing all of that at an extremely high level, and he was delivering on the lyrics and the sound. So, yeah, KRS-One, the teacher, you know, he's so important to hip-hop culture. You know, he had the hip-hop museum. He's, you know, big on education. Even this one I wasn't on board for, but it's a thing that he did. You know, he was pushing hip-hop as religion. You know, he's done a lot for keeping the history of this culture alive and in the forefront. So, you know, the impact that these two artists have on the culture is just limitless, to be honest. So, like I said, if the vibe is right and the setting is right, which it is, Brooklyn is a great place for this. This could be one of them ones, but I just don't know what to expect, really, given where they are in their lives right now as far as age.
I'd be worried about Big Daddy Kane more than I would KRS-One.
Oh yeah, KRS-One lives to chew people's heads off, so
yeah,
he stay ready.
Yeah, and I think like this is actually real interesting, because I mean, like, if you really wanna like get into it. Like, these are like literally like the two crews that ran like hip hop in the 80s.
Facts.
Right? Because you had like the Juice Crew, who was big like in the early 80s out of Queens, and then like Boogie Down Productions.
Mm-hmm. And the X.
And the X. Right? And, you know, like, I think this is going to be good for hip hop. This is going to be one of those things where, like, everybody's going to be out there in their Adidas and their bucket hats. Like, yeah. Like, this is going to be good for the culture. This is going to be good for the youths.
This is going to be really good. You think KRS-One is bringing D-Nice?
Yes.
Of course he's bringing D-Nice, bro. D-Nice going to have the numbers on this shit absolutely crazy without question.
Low-key, D-Nice, like, started, like, this whole versus shit. Like, he's one of the founding fathers of this shit, because, like, before Timberland and Swizz, like, came through and started doing rappers, like, D-Nice was on Instagram doing like DJ sets during the pandemic for people. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and
Club Quarantine.
Yep, Club Quarantine. And he was doing like DJ battles like himself, where like, you know, he'd be like, all right, we're doing this artist versus this artist, right? Yeah. And then Tim and Swizz were like, hey, why don't we just get the artist and kind of versus his history? But like, D-Nice is like, on an ideal level, he's like the godfather of this shit. So he better bring D-Nice.
Yeah.
And they better give D-Nice his flowers.
Oh, they're without question. At the half, man, we are deep in this episode. So last week we had a little challenge, and we were to listen to the 15 up and coming Minnesota rappers and choose one to select for this week's At the Half. How successful were you in selecting a song?
Not that successful. but I do have a top five for you.
Okay, what's the top five?
I do have a top five. Okay, so coming in at number five, we're going to go with Lil Ebro.
Okay.
Lil Ebro made number five. Actually, no. ZR was number five. Lil Ebro was number four.
Mm-hmm.
We have Huncho Juan at number three.
Okay.
We have Chase a Bag at number two.
Okay.
And number one is...
It's your boy.
It's your boy, Band Up Sick.
Oh, you put Band Up Sick at number one?
Band Up Sick is number one. Like, bruh. Actually going through, like, Band Up Sick is number one.
Nah, fam.
Who? Nah.
Here's why Band Up Sick cannot be number one.
Okay.
Your man,
uh-huh,
in this music video,
uh-huh,
has on Fendi sneakers,
uh-huh,
a Fendi coat,
uh-huh,
a Fendi baseball cap,
uh-huh,
and some Jordan tights as pants. That's it.
Uh-huh.
Just white Jordan tights.
You know how he can afford all that?
Because he's Band Up Sick. I hate you. Get off.
And that is why Band Up Sick is number one. He's living his raps.
Oh, man. Absolutely. Yo, the song is called Cap Life, bro. Get this out of here. Listen, there is no top five for me on this list. There isn't even a top one for me on this list. I did not select any of these songs for At The Half this week because this music was not at all for me. Some of it was just not even on beat. The rest of it was just sing-songy copies of, like, you couldn't even tell which artist was which mm-hmm. song was what. Subject matter was the same. Then there was the drill stuff, which just mm-hmm. guns, like, goodness gracious. Y'all have a small army over there. This was not for me, man. I'm off this list. Salute to the Minnesota rappers, though. Young black people making their way out with art instead of crime. I'm down for that. But this music ain't for me, fam.
Okay, well, you made me listen to it.
Yeah.
So let me actually drop my At The Half. You fuck with Don Toliver?
Not really.
Okay, so Don Toliver's
not bad,
in,
but
yeah,
yeah.
But Don Toliver's in the Travis Scott crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is his either debut. This has to be his debut album. No, Heaven or Hell was his debut album, and then Donnie Womack is the mixtape that got him going. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, Life of a Don, Don Toliver, check it out.
Okay.
If you like Houston lean style music,
yeah,
that Travis Scott sound, straight up.
Okay, nice pick. My pick this week. It's some backpack shit. It's a mass appeal drop. It is Big Nas by Nas.
Mm.
Original song from Masterclass. So, yeah, that's my pick. This joint was a bop. Bars was on point. Talking that shit. Yeah. And I'm not even Nas fan like that, which is what blew my mind. Mm-hmm. It's like this last 2 years or so, he's really been on a different place with it. You know, his bars have always been there, you know, no doubt about that, but sonically I couldn't always connect with Nas. But this last 2 years, the sound and the rhymes have lined up. The energy is back. He feels young, he feels exciting, he feels fresh and new, which is not easy to do at his big old age. So yeah, this was a fire joint to hear. So if y'all have not heard it, check it out. It's Nas, Big Nas. Get into it. Saucer Toss is back this week. We only have one item this time, though. It's a pair of boots, too. It's not even a jersey. I pulled this up. I have some reservations about it, but we're going to discuss it anyway. Antoine Griezmann and Puma are releasing the Puma Ultra 1.3 Greasy 100. It's, of course, in his Atletico Madrid colors. And it says Greasy on the side with 100 in gold. Some stripes going on there. They're red, white, and blue. There's a lot happening here. Ken, you're the player. Sauce or toss on this Puma boot?
Oh my god, this is terrible.
Ooh. Okay. Mainly for the Puma technology in the boots. Like, it's Puma doesn't make great boots. I guess like commemorative boots, like they look okay. Like I see what they were doing with the Atletico streaking and the French streaking on the side. Like, because he was supposed to wear these for his 100th cap in the France Spain game. So, like, I see what they were doing there. But I mean, I'm not really a fan of Puma. So, like, you can keep these.
Damn, you tossing the Greasy boot?
I mean, if you go call them the Greasy 100s, like, it's got to be better than this, fam. Like these look like commemorative boots. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a fact.
Like,
that's
don't fact. Like, don't waste the name Greasy 100 on like some regular looking boots. Because I mean, when I heard the name, I was like, "Oh, he about to give it to us, right?"
Yeah. So I am going to toss this boot as well. The reason being that, man, this man still wore blackface, bro. That's unforgivable. Like, he should know better. All the black teammates he got, all the appreciation he has for black music and dance, and you still dressed up like a Harlem Globetrotter in full blackface, bro. Like, get the entire fuck out of here. Forever, which is a shame because I do like him as a player, kind of mostly as a person, I guess. But that was just so egregious, bro. I cannot fuck with this boot for that reason. So you going in the garbage, Greasy 100?
Did you know that some of the colored faves on Twitter still rock with Greasy?
Oh, and listen, don't get me started.
Okay.
Don't get me started. But yes, I did know. And the comments be egregious, bro. Like, the whole African King thing and all that. Like, come on, man. You be doing it to yourself. But, you know, it's just Twitter. It's just Twitter.
Yeah. We'll just let him have it.
Yep. That's, hey, listen, however you choose to participate is how you choose to participate. And that's okay. Over there.
Yeah, over there.
Foul Play is back this week and is here in this section that we are going to discuss the U.S. men's national team and their loss to Panama. Ken, can we get that intro music, please?
Well, we are going to go and have a look. Let's see if we can hear the audio here.
The U.S. men's national team trying to sort it out. Greg Berhalter and his boys, they are trying to get it together to qualify for the World Cup next year. Man, is it going to happen the way we thought it was going to happen? I don't know, because the U.S. men's national team went and lost to damn Panama after handing Jamaica a natural ass whooping. So we can't figure out who this team is and how they're going to fare once we get to the big stage. Ken, you are the tactician here. Give me your thoughts on what went wrong in the U.S. men's national team game versus Panama.
The only card I am going to give for this is to Greg Berhalter.
Uh-oh.
For
Drum roll.
Just not being prepared. Mm. Like, all summer, we were told that, like, all of this squad rotation and, like, taking, like, all of these different players to the Gold Cup and all the, like, you know, not taking people from the Nations League to the Gold Cup. And just basically over the past year or so, all of this rotation is to figure out what depth we had in the men's player pool. And it looks like we don't have any.
Mm.
And if it took you a year to figure that out, then I've got some serious reservations, right? Because, like, losing to Panama doesn't worry me in terms of our ability to qualify for the World Cup, because we have enough talent to win our home games,
mm-hmm.
right? And winning your home games at least gets you into the playoffs, and then, like, we can grind something out there. But I'm not worried about us qualifying for the World Cup, because I think we would have qualified for the World Cup last time if we wouldn't have fired Jurgen Klinsmann. Like, ooh. I think that's what kind of destabilized the ship too much.
Mm-hmm.
But what really worries me is that in the World Cup, it's going to be the same, like, setup of group games, right? Where you play three games in, I believe, 10 days or like 12 days. So you're going to have to rotate there too.
Right.
Right. So if we don't have the depth to play three games, I don't know what we do if we get a hard group, right?
Yeah.
Like, if we get a soft group, then, you know, we'll make it to the knockouts. But, you know, if we get a tough group, if we get a group that has teams better than Panama,
I see what you did there.
Then we're going to be in trouble, right? So I, like, you know, I'm giving him a yellow because it seems like the further we get into this process, the more we start to realize that he's not prepared for this coaching job, and that he's going to basically fail up, right? Like, if he makes it to the World Cup, that's going to be failing up.
Yep.
Right? Because this team can pretty much make it on autopilot. It's not going to be pretty, but, like, if he was a coach,
yeah,
then we would be up there fighting with Mexico.
I think we are fighting with Mexico. I think they have 11 points right now. We have 8.
Yeah, that's not fighting with Mexico. Like, like, to be dropping points in that way this early, I think Mexico's biggest problem for, like, moving forward is going to be Canada.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
We're just going to kind of be the third kind of, like, straggler along, because Canada doesn't have a lot of depth either, but they have a lot of grit that we just don't have, right? Because we just don't have any leaders on this team. Like, we don't have anybody that's expected to be a part of a core leadership group of a top team here.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we have leaders, but we don't have leaders in the way that we're kind of used to seeing, especially on the U.S. men's national team. We've kind of traditionally had, like, a maniac in the front, right? You had your Clint Dempsey, Landon Donovan. Like, those are guys that you could just count on to put it all on their back and just do something outrageous, whatever it took. You know, whatever extra run was needed, whatever last minute goal was needed, they were going to find it and deliver it. And we don't really have that right now. I think the nearest we can get by skill set is Ricardo Pepi, but by attitude, you know, it's just worlds apart.
Well, I think the attitude is really what makes the difference in this set of players, because, I mean, this is the most talented set of players we've ever had.
Facts.
Right? Like, the question is, like, what are their expectations week in, week out? For me, the question is, what are their expectations week in, week out at their club teams versus what that means when they come back for international duty, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you're just kind of like a squad bid part player, like in your club team week in and week out, like you're not carrying the pressures of playing, right? Like Weston McKennie, right? Like he's not a regular starter for Juve. Pulisic, he's not a regular starter for Chelsea. Tyler Adams, not a regular starter for Leipzig. Like, we can go down the line of these guys who, like, get a lot of minutes at their club, but they aren't, like, first guys that you pencil in into the team sheet, right?
Yeah.
So, like, what does that mean when it comes to intensity when they come back, right? Like, you're not turning it on in that way. And that's, like, when people talk about, like, the American... like players before, like they were going over to Europe and fighting for spots every single like week, right?
Right.
Like they were fighting not to be sent back home, right? Yeah. They weren't kind of in that mushy middle where they're talented enough, but not getting run every week. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I agree with you, but like, I think a lot of this has to do with identifying players, because maybe you don't take your best players to the World Cup. Like,
ooh,
that's a controversial opinion.
Yeah,
but
that's
I
a
mean,
hot take like a motherfucker. You just going to sauce right by that? Bro, what are you doing?
What, that you don't take your best players to tournaments sometime?
What?
No. No, 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 oh, no. Like, I mean, this is where form and like being in form come like really matters as a player, right? Like, I 100% want somebody who's playing week in, week out, game speed, like 70, 80 minutes. Like, I 100% want that person more than I want somebody who might get a game every couple of weeks.
Okay.
And like when it comes to like World Cup qualifying and being in form in that way, I think it matters.
I see. I see. Yeah. Okay.
So yellow for Greg Berhalter. That's all I got.
Okay. I am going to deliver a yellow card to the roster.
Okay.
I don't dislike Greg Berhalter entirely. I think he's done some good things. He's definitely giving a lot of people who may have otherwise not had an opportunity on the U.S. men's national team looks. So I like that he's really, you know, trying to mine for the right talent. I'm going to give the players a yellow because at the end of the day, yes, Greg Berhalter may not have had the, you know, the perfect setup or rotation or tactical, you know, game plan for the match. But at the end of the day, y'all are on the pitch and it's Panama. And you have to find a way. Like, you just have to. So it's World Cup qualifying. Y'all have a lot to prove to yourselves, let alone the population here that follows this team. You can't drop a game to Panama. You just can't. I don't care what the circumstances are. Just doesn't make any sense with the amount of talent that we have on that squad. So for that reason, yellow card to y'all. This is a caution because y'all mess around and miss the damn World Cup again. Like, it's going to be ugly, ugly. And I just don't need that type of negativity in my life. So please, U.S. men's national team, get your shit together, play some good soccer, win some games, and get yourself into the World Cup. I greatly appreciate it. This has been Rox Fontaine. Thank you and good night.
So you're just giving a yellow to the roster?
Yeah, yellow to the roster. That's it, man.
All right.
You got to figure it out, bro. You just have to. It's Panama. It's not like, if it's, I don't know. Honduras, you know, different conversation. Like, that's a nation where, yeah, you're getting caught out there. They still got ballers. But Panama is just not that threatening. They've played some good soccer over the last few tournaments as a whole. So I'm not saying that they're a bad team or that they don't deserve to beat anybody in the group at all. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, as a U.S. men's national team, the amount of talent and resources that you have available, and you know what you are trying to prove to yourself and to your fan base, you cannot drop a game to Panama. You can't do that at all. Just can't happen.
Well, I will give you this. One of my coaches always used to say, you have to fight for the right to play.
Yep.
And what he meant by that was, like, you have to challenge every 50-50. You have mm-hmm. to be first to the ball. You have to win that physical competition to play mm-hmm. so you can express your skills. Like, that's how you earn the right to express your skills.
Right.
So I can see that.
Yep. It is headed home time, Ken. What words of wisdom or funny anecdotes do you have for us this week in episode 54?
Yeah, to everybody listening to this, this is going to come out before the weekend. Big shout out to the Henny Derby this weekend.
Yes, sir.
Richmond.
Ford Madison.
Yeah. So, Richmond Kickers and Forward Madison, we've got the Featherstone Flamingos, and what is the Richmond Kickers Black Supporters Group?
Red City Army, something like that?
Red City Army, maybe River 93. I mean, it's Yogi, so.
It's Yogi. What up, Yogi?
What up, Yogi?
Listen to that River City 93 podcast. You already know what time it is. Can I Kick It FC? Listen to that, too. Running numbers up on the folks out here, man. You know what time it is.
Hell yeah. Can I Kick It FC, the Black 30 for 30? Like, that's good shit, bro.
Yeah.
But yeah, Henny Derby this weekend, Forward Madison, Richmond Kickers, the blackest derby in America. If you're going, be safe. Please don't bring any drama to please don't bring any drama to the black homecoming of the soccer year. Yeah. Yeah, that's a PSA. Big shout outs. Rox will be in attendance, I think.
I'm
right?
In the motherfucking building like a motherfucking.
So,
I'm making that drive. I need to book a hotel though, but I'm in there. Trust and believe I will be there.
Yeah, so Rox is holding it down for Chop Soccer at the Henny Derby. Don't make Rox check you. Like,
yo, why are you trying to get me in trouble? They gonna swear I came down there looking for smoke. I was minding my goddamn business. I promise y'all, I'm gonna be tucked in the cut. I'm going to kick it with Ebony and Yogi and drink some Henny and eat some vegan shit. That's all I'm trying to do.
The element was in the air. The danger was lurking.
But listen, you know how it goes, man. This is how we get down on Chop Soccer Podcast, man. Y'all better know the motherfucking vibes by this point in time. And tell somebody, man. Run the numbers up. We appreciate it. You know how it goes. You already know what to do, people. Do all the things that help us grow. That's like, comment, share, subscribe, download these episodes. Tell your grandmother, your cousin, your uncle, your neighborhood deli man, the mailman, everybody. Put them on to what we're doing. If you want to get in a conversation with us, you can find us on Twitter at Chop Soccer Pod, on Instagram at Chop Soccer Pod. You can shoot comments or suggestions to chopsoccerpod@gmail.com. And if you want to support the show and show the most love that you can show to this initiative that we are running right here, donate to paypal.me/chopsoccerpod. I can't talk. I'm getting late. I also want to say thank you to the individual that reached out to us last week and showed love and appreciation for what we're doing. Sent some coin this way. Greatly appreciate you. And we will definitely be investing that into the show. Getting some new things going up. We're going to get some little trinkets to send out to y'all. And it's all coming. So stay locked in. You know how it goes. Love you. We appreciate you. And you know the vibe.
Good night, Zimbabwe.